Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
A few years ago, I planted an orange. I got seeds and I placed them in the soil, and then the waiting began. Thank God those seeds were alive, they germinated. And then as that plant began to grow, you know, I waited for the fruit. What was strange is the leaves were very green. It looked very healthy. Year number one passed, number two, number three, number four, I was thinking, is this an orange tree or it's something else? I felt like I need to cut it, but it was the only plant in my farm. So I left it to just grow anyhow. In year number nine, a miracle happened. I saw oranges show up and they were very big. They were amazing when we juiced them. They had this amazing juice. And guess what? It was time for us to leave that place. Just as soon as we began to harvest the oranges, we had to leave. And some planting new oranges. But you know, you, as a child of God, you are the planting of the Lord in His church. In the same way a farmer plants seed and expects fruit, is the same way God, who is the farmer, in John 15, He is the gardener. Jesus is the real plant. We are the branches. He expects to see fruit through our lives. And so today's message is rooted in Christ to bear fruit. Because fruitfulness is the result of our relationship with God. If you are truly born again, you are a child of God, okay? You must bear fruit, maybe in the first year, second year, ninth year, but not bearing fruit is impossible if you are in Christ Jesus. And so today, I want us to explore scripture and see why it's important for us to bear fruit, but also how you can consistently bear fruit in your lives. You know, in Northern Uganda, I love going to Northern Uganda in Gulu, especially in the season where mangoes are ready. You know, I love those trees. They are massive. And you see the weight of the mangoes almost making them break. But you know, friends, I have never seen or heard of these mangoes going through labor to bear fruit. It seems to be effortless. It seems to be like as long as they are planted, they are rooted in the soil, season after season, you will get mangoes. And the same is true for all of us when we are rooted in Christ, when we are planted in His body, the church, when we actually practice the disciplines of prayer and read the Word until the Word reads us, when we come together and do life together as children of God, the result is going to be fruit in our lives. See, when I was a younger Christian, I used to think that I must wake up every day focusing on the fruit. But I realized that is a wrong focus. You don't focus on the fruit. Your focus actually is to remain rooted in Christ. Amen. And as long as you are rooted, the byproduct on the other side will be fruit. And this fruit not only will bless you, bless the people around you, will bless us. Now, fruitfulness is important because this is a kingdom matter. It's just not about you. It's bigger than you. It is what brought the gospel to us today. There is a generation of people who are fruitful in their day. And the reason today we can receive this gospel is because they were fruitful. The early church went through persecution. The first 300 years of the early church were not great, but they were fruitful. At a time when there was rampant and immorality in the Roman kingdom, Christians lived high standards of morality without judgment. At a time when there were plagues like they happen today, many people were leaving the city of Rome, but Christians stayed behind and they cared for the sick as if they were their very own. Many of them died caring for the sick. At a time when women were considered as property, Christianity, the early church, ennobled womanhood because we believe that we are all made in the image of God. At a time when girls were considered as property, they were throwing babies, especially girls, in the streets at night to be eaten by the dogs. Christians would pick these babies and raise them as their own. No wonder in 300 years, Christianity became the most dominant faith in the Roman Empire. Not because they were rich, not because they were great preachers, but because they were fruitful. They were rooted in Christ and they bore fruit. And the same is true for all of us in this place. God has given us this moment. Don't you ever tell them, this is your moment. We are the people we have been waiting for. You see, we look back on history and we look at great men and women of God. You are the man of God. You are the woman of God. You are the person that God has filled with the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday is today to change today. And that's why we must remain rooted in Christ to bear fruit. Now, John echoes the words of Jesus. He said, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remember, fruit is the result. Where should you put the effort? Remaining. Just like the farmer plants that seed, they know fruit will be the result of certain works. They must make sure they water the plant. They must make sure the plant has enough manure. They must make sure there's enough sunlight. And as long as they're faithfully putting all those ingredients together, all three things together, there's going to be fruit. And it's you. You and I, in the same way, we must remain in Jesus. The effort is to remain in Jesus. If you are not bearing fruit in your life, the question is, are you in Christ? Or actually, you've walked away. Somebody said that Christians, we are a living sacrifice because we get to leave the altar. We have to make a choice to remain. Remain in me. And when we are rooted, when we are grounded, anchored in Christ, we are going to bear fruit and we are going to be a blessing to our families, our nation, and the world. You see, fruitfulness is like lighting a candle in a dark home, no matter where you are. You see, friends, a single life lived for Christ lights up every dark place in our families, in our workplaces, in this world. Be the candle, be the light that Jesus has called you to be today. Colossians 1, 9 to 10, we've been studying the book of Colossians through this series. Paul says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with knowledge, the knowledge of his will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a fruitful life, a life worthy of the Lord, and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. The fruit isn't just spiritual. It's not about head knowledge. It's not about speaking in tongues. It's not even about the verses that you quote. It's not even about the Hebrew or the Greek that you know. Fruit must be seen. A question for all of us. How do the people close to you experience you? Think about it for a moment. If you are courageous enough, ask them. That is how fruitful you are. How do the people at your workplace experience you? How do the people in your neighborhood experience you, your border? How does your worker, the house help, the nanny experience you? You see, this world is hungry for some fruitful people, and I believe if we remain rooted and stay in His word, in prayer, stay in fellowship, and we obey God's word, this world is going to experience a people who are fruitful. And that is my prayer. So today, we are going to explore Colossians 3, a couple of verses there. And there are three ways we can bear fruit. And he says this, Paul says this. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul is saying, telling us of what has already happened. You are in Christ. Your life is hidden in Christ. So set your mind on the things above. Set your heart on Christ. And then verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of the Creator. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So Paul is telling us, if we are going to bear consistent fruit, number one, set your heart and your mind on Christ. Set your heart and your mind on Christ. We moved houses recently, and when you're moving houses, you get to see things you haven't seen in a long time. I discovered our wedding pictures. And as I looked at all of them, 90% of the pictures featured my bride and myself. And for that, I said, the cameraman did a good job. He did his job. If I saw that he focused on all of you minus the guest of honors of the wedding, I would not have paid him. The reason we paid him is because we wanted him to focus on the bride and the groom, because it's our day. He made up his mind from the start that to make money in photography, you must always focus on the subject. If we are going to become fruitful in our lives, Jesus is the subject. We must set our minds, we must set our hearts on him all the time. He must call the shots every day. Paul is saying, set your hearts, set your minds on Jesus. You see, in chapter 1, we see, in Colossians 1, we see Paul talking about the supremacy of Christ. He is supreme in creation. He is supreme in rulership. He's supreme in reconciling us. He's supreme in sustaining us. He's supreme in reconciling us to God. He must remain supreme even as we live for him each and every day. We set our hearts and our minds on Christ, because Jesus is the subject. He's the one that calls the shots of our lives. Jesus is the boss of our lives. Jesus is the boss of our marriages. Jesus is the boss of our leadership. Jesus is the boss of our sexuality. Jesus is the boss of this nation. And so we submit everything to Jesus. We ask, how would Jesus want me to live in this context? Set your hearts and your mind on Christ, not on earthly things that are temporary. We set our eyes and our hearts on what is eternal. You see, most of us, let me guess, mostly all of us, we have social media on our phones. And you curate your feed by what you follow, isn't it? Who you follow determines what you see. As Christians, we must make sure we follow Jesus so that he is the one that we see first each and every day. We must curate our spiritual feed. And how do we do that? We get into his word. We get into prayer. We stay in fellowship with other believers. We're never meant to do life alone. That is how we curate our spiritual feed. And the more we practice those disciplines, the more we set our hearts and minds on Jesus. The more Jesus is able to influence our desires, our emotions, our passions, our ambitions, because he is the most important person in our lives now. Set your hearts and your minds on Jesus. In a culture saturated with social pressure and material pursuits, choosing values like integrity, I'm telling you, purity, is radical and countercultural today. So guard your hearts and minds, friends. Proverbs 4:23 says this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from your heart. Trash in, trash out. Fill your heart with God's word. Fill your heart with his spirit. And then what's going to happen? You're going to be setting your hearts. Your ambitions become his ambitions. Your will becomes his will. Prioritize time in prayer. I don't know how often you hear this. It sounds very simple. But yet this is the key for us to become fruitful. Prioritize scripture reading and reflection on the life of Christ and following him. Embrace a biblical mindset and reject a secular, materialistic mindset that wants to push its agenda on us. Set your hearts and minds on Jesus Christ. And when you're set and locked in, he begins to direct your life. This is foundational. And the next two depend on this. Because when you've set your mind and your heart on Christ, then you are able to put to death sinful desires. Out of Christ, you can't defeat sin because we're sinners. At the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. It is Jesus who helps us overcome sin. So Paul is saying, now that you are in Christ, now that you are raised with Christ, now that your mind is set, now that your heart is set on Christ, now put to death, because he empowers you to put to death sin. You see, a fruitful life requires pruning. A farmer must prune his plants. Maybe my orange wasn't bearing fruit because I did not prune at all. A fruitful life requires pruning. A farmer must look out for those branches that are diseased. He cuts them off because they will influence the rest of the plant. In the same way, as a Christian, as a child of God, God asks you to put to death sinful desires. I know the church generally doesn't talk about sin. We think by talking about sin, it's offensive. I am a parent, I have three children. I talk about their sin because I love them. Because if I don't address sin, they're going to be destroyed. Now they're with me for 18 years. I do my very best to point out things that are going to destroy them. In the same way, friends, I'm talking to you because I love you. God loves you. He wants you to address sin, because if you don't address sin, it's going to kill you. It's going to kill God's purpose for your life. So put to death sinful desires. And especially those that have been normalized by today's society. We call sin a mistake. It's not a mistake. You see, a mistake is when I'm drawing on a piece of paper and I can get an eraser and I erase it. Sin requires the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a mistake. It is sin. If a little snake enters your house, you don't pet it. So, ooh, look at it, little pet. In Africa, we don't do that. Every snake is a dangerous snake. I traveled in the West and I found you guys have pets. Snakes. You know, one of the adults on the children's square told her a story that they went to a home and their host told them they have a pet snake. And so when they got home, they went to the place where the pet stays. And lo and behold, it had escaped. And they couldn't find it in the house. So this adult and his boys, they tell me, they went, when everybody went to bed, they went to the bathroom and they locked themselves up and they stayed awake. Because we don't deal with snakes in Africa. Every snake is dangerous. So you don't pet sin. You address sin. You kill it. We must be ruthless when it comes to sin. When you leave your front door open, you invite thieves. We must close the doors of our hearts to sin. Because sin kills us. Sin destroys the purposes of God of our life. Sin destroys families. Sin destroys everything in this society. So we must address sin. Let's not pet sin. Let's call it out. And let's address sin. You don't have the power to address sin in your own strength. If you're struggling, find help. I like what James, the half-brother of Jesus, says. He says, confess your sins one with another. I think we've lost the art of confession. I think we need to bring that back. Where we come in church and turn to your neighbor and say, I have sinned. Because whatever you don't confess is going to grow. And it's going to hurt you. It's going to kill you. Confess your sins with one another. If you're struggling with an addiction, if you're in sin, find somebody, talk to somebody about it. For the good of yourself, your family, this nation, and the kingdom of God. Address sin. So every day, invite the Holy Spirit to transform your desires. Again, remember, it begins by setting your hearts and minds on Christ. Through prayer, the word, fellowship. So invite the Holy Spirit to transform your desires. Flee from temptation. There are certain areas you just run. Do not negotiate. Do not even pray. Paul said, flee your youthful lusts. When it comes to sexual sin, run. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. This is not a respecter of persons. The devil is always on the lookout for somebody to bring down. Flee. Do not negotiate. You are a child of the light. Walk in accountability. Let's walk together. So how do we bear fruit? We must do some work here. Set your heart and mind on Christ every day. Secondly, address sin in your life. Don't pet it. Find somebody. And let's address this issue of sin. Then thirdly, Paul said, put on godliness. And the picture that Paul has here is like somebody dressing up. Okay? You see that dude over there? He's looking sharp. Because he made a choice to dress up that way. This morning, I made a choice. Nobody forced me. My wife did not force me. I made a choice. Godliness is a choice. Put on kindness, Paul says. Bear with one another. Choose to forgive one another. Because we are new people. In Christ, we have a new identity. The word of God tells us the old is gone, the new has come. You see, when you come to Christ, God changes you at the identity level first. He credits to you what you don't have so that you can become that. He calls you holy so that you can live holy lives. He calls you righteous so that you can live righteous lives. You are new. And so when you are in Christ, the expectation is there must be a semblance of fruit in your life. Rootedness in Christ will transform you at a core level. You see, a police officer wearing a uniform is what identifies them as a police officer. I know some of you are in the armed forces in this place, but I don't know you. But if you wore your camouflage, I would salute. In the same way, godliness is what identifies you. How does your spouse experience you? Put on kindness. What about that border rider? Put on self-control. Godliness is a choice. That's what Paul is telling us. Put on. If you are not bearing godly fruit in your life, check your roots. Because the faith that saved you has the power to work in you to produce fruit in your life. If you have been saved for many years and there's no fruit in your life, I'm wondering, where are your roots? Because as long as a plant is in the soil, planted, and the conditions are good, there's going to be fruit. The same with us. Where are you planted? Maybe you walked away from Christ. Come back so that you can bear fruit. You see, the tap root, that long root in the soil of a plant, helps this plant to bear fruit even in the dry season. Meaning that even when we are going through tough times, we bear fruit. Can I even say that actually your fruit is more evident when you're going through trials? You see, we live in a day where there's this idea of, I want something deeper. I want a message that is deeper. It's not about how much you know. It's about how you are rooted to bear fruit. If you want to know how deep a person is, look at how they respond to adversity. Are they joyful? Are they at peace? Oh, when adversity comes, they want to leave the family because, you know, the wife did not cook properly. Depth is tested in adversity. And that is why James again says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you go through trials of many kinds, because your faith is being tested. And this testing of faith produces perseverance. And then he says, let perseverance finish its work. Some of us are praying to get out of the fire. God is saying, let perseverance finish its work, because in the fire, I'm forming you so that you can become fruitful in your life. Hallelujah. Let perseverance finish its work so that you might be fruitful. Mature faith. We all want mature faith. We all want to testify. But let me tell you, a testimony comes after a test. We all admire people of great faith, but we have no idea they have been formed in the crucible of trials and they have been found fruitful. And the world is hungry for Christians who are going to be fruitful no matter what is happening all around us. In fact, I believe the darker the world becomes, the more the light of Jesus needs to be shining through our lives as we become fruitful. I think the problem is we are not rooted in Christ so deep that he influences everything about our lives, influences our ambitions, our emotions, our passions. Remember, this is a kingdom thing. And when we are fruitful, my goodness, our families are going to be transformed. Our workplaces are going to be changed. Our nations are going to be transformed because we are fruitful. Jesus began with 12, and here we are. Imagine we all embrace this idea of being rooted in Christ by setting our hearts and minds on Christ and ruthlessly address sinful desires and put on godliness each and every day. Imagine what our world can look like. And it begins with you, one person at a time. So we are rooted in Christ to bear fruit. So set your hearts on Jesus. Set your minds locking on Christ. Let Him determine your agenda. Curate your spiritual feed each and every day through prayer, meditation, staying with like-minded people. There are certain people you need to weed out of your life because they are messing with the fruit of God in your life. Confess your sin. Address sin. At the end of this service, there's going to be a team of prayer warriors, a team. This is an opportunity for you to come and be prayed over. Maybe it's a time for you to just open up and say, this is what I'm struggling with. We are here because we love you, care for you. We want you to be free. And then put on godliness. Put on Jesus. Let's bow our heads. God, I'm grateful for your word that through this word, we get to see your heart for us. You love us so much. You lay down your life for us, Jesus. Innocent for the guilty. Because we couldn't save ourselves. And now, God, again, you come to us because you want us to bear fruit in our lives. You want us to have healthy relationships. You want us to have healthy communities. And you're calling us as disciples of Christ to be fruitful wherever we are by remaining in you. And God, I know in this place there could be some people who have walked away that have not been in you today. I pray as they sense Holy Spirit convicting them that they come back to the true vine. Jesus, that's who you are. And those who feel overwhelmed by sin in their lives, you don't condemn them. For Jesus, you did not come into this world to condemn the world, but to save us. You came to us because we could not save ourselves. And I pray right now, God, I pray that those who feel overwhelmed by sin, may they lean on you today as their only Savior. So draw them to yourself today. Every head bowed down, every eye closed in this place. This is the moment to respond to God's word. And I know Holy Spirit has been working in us and drawing you to Christ. If you're in this place, you're saying, Pastor Eddie, today I would like to surrender my life to Christ. I sense it in my heart. Let me help you do that today. I want to pray for you. Online, on air. Respond. He's the one working in our hearts. You respond to the work in your heart. If that is you saying, pray for me today. I want to lean on Jesus as my only Savior. If that is you, would you lift up your hand in this room? That's how you show that you have made a decision for Jesus. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Upstairs, online, there's a link that is showing up. Click it. We'd love to get in touch with you. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Today, God bless you. Raise your hand. I don't have to convince you. You know it in your heart. God bless you. Raise your hand. God bless you. Be courageous. Choose Jesus. He loves you. Raise your hand. Anybody else before I close in prayer? I want to pray for you. God bless you. Don't let fear stop you from making this important decision. Let Jesus lead you. God bless you. Online, there's a link showing up. Click it. Fill in your details. We will get in touch with you. On air, you can write to us, connect@watotochurch.com. You matter. We are family. Now, I want us to pray this prayer together, everybody, including those who have raised their hands. It's simply verbalizing what God is doing in our hearts. Just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for my sins. Today, I choose to follow you. I walk away from my past. I embrace the new. And you are the new. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Can we celebrate our friends who have said yes to Jesus in this place?
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey.